With the military strategic shift in focus away from the Middle East and towards the Asia-Pacific region, the Marine Corps wants to get back to its maritime roots and transition itself into a lighter, expeditionary, seagoing force. There's one big problem with that. According to Lieutenant General Richard Mills, the Marines' Deputy Commandant for Combat Development and Integration.
Because over the past 10 years, we've become a heavy Marine Corps. We have fought a land war, requiring us to become heavier. That was all well and good in its time, but that time now is rapidly passing us by. Over those years, we became tied to very secure lines of fuel resupply. We often worked out of large fuel farms, often civilian sourced, very secure, great force protection around them. That allowed us to become a little sloppy. It allowed us to become less aware and less conscious of fuel efficiency on the battlefield. It allowed us to become less conscious of the problem of fuel resupply on the battlefield. Those times are changing.
The times ahead, Mills says, are likely to involve deployments to conflict zones with energy sources that are far less established and likely at the end of a sea-based supply chain. He says to deal with that reality, the Marines are going to have to redevelop an expeditionary mindset and build a force that can operate without an unlimited supply of energy.
Our energy demand increases our strategic and our tactical risk, both at the strategic, operational, and at the tactical level of war. It tethers us to supply lines that are often vulnerable to disruption. One only needs to look at some of the lines through Pakistan right now. It reduces our range and our freedom of maneuver, especially as we operate from the sea and operate on land. It dilutes our combat effectiveness by increasing our force protection demands on fuel farms and bases. It risks the very precious lives of our Marines and sailors as they carry fuel and water on patrol, as they carry fuel and water in convoy operations. Energy inefficiency is just simply inconsistent with our current and future operational concepts and the environments which we're going to have to fight.
But Mills says the Marine Corps is now getting serious about energy efficiency. He says the service has quickly taken on board some innovative new technologies that reduce the need for fuel and batteries in a combat zone. And he says energy use is now a major consideration in the service's acquisition of weapon systems.
Fuel efficiency must play a part in every decision we make as we look at future capabilities, future requirements, and how we meet those requirements and we max out those capabilities. We've been putting our money where our mouth is. First of all, looking at our requirements of future vehicles and future aircraft. We must look at size, we must look at weight, logistics footprint, energy consumption, along with how we'll use those vehicles, those aircraft, and those weapon systems when considering our future capabilities determinations. We have to develop a lighter force, capable of operating in smaller, more distributed units, and translate that eventually into a faster, more deadly, indeed, as the Commandant says, a middleweight force.
Many of the Marine Corps' current weapon systems are definitely closer to the heavyweight end of the spectrum. Some weapons carried by individual Marines pack 35 pounds of weight into a single system. Mills says they want to cut that in half. And to get a better handle on the entirety of the load on a Marine's back, the service has designated the Marine Expeditionary Rifle Squad program as the single configuration manager for everything a Marine carries, both now and in the future. Part of reducing that load is cutting back on the energy sources Marines have to take with them and giving them gear that can harness renewable energy instead.
We are putting our money where our mouth is. We have applied some $350 million to expeditionary energy initiatives. You heard the Secretary and the Senator talk about some of those. But as a result of those investments, four systems, our spaces, our greens, our shelter radiant barriers, and our LED lights have become programs of record. We've moved those beyond simply the experimental phase to where they are providing support to the Marine on the battlefield.
Mills says those four technologies that have since graduated to formal programs first rolled onto the battlefield in Afghanistan as an experiment with the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, when he was a commander there. He was skeptical at first.
The last thing I wanted to do was to burden these Marines with some science project as they moved into high-intensity combat against a very determined and skillful enemy. I was wrong. The Marines jumped all over it. They understood what those systems offered to them. They understood how they could be translated to success on the battlefield. As I toured their outposts, their forward operating bases, I received nothing but words of praise for those types of systems. Why? Because it made the grunts' life easier. It reduced the amount of fuel that they had to bring forward. It reduced the maintenance on generators. It reduced the number of convoys bringing batteries and to reduce the weight during foot patrols.
Mills spoke during the Navy's annual energy forum, the same conference where Navy Secretary Ray Mabus announced a sweeping set of renewable energy and energy efficiency objectives 3 years earlier. Mabus told the audience this year the Navy and Marine Corps have met several of those targets and remain on track to accomplish several others. With regard to the Marine Corps, he says more energy efficiency technology is being researched. He says the Marines have just finished building their fifth experimental forward operating base at Camp Pendleton, California.
Focusing on commercial solutions off the shelf that address a significant Marine Corps need. The need to reduce the impact of heating and cooling on the battlefield. There was a study in 2010 that said that 57% of all our energy in theater is used for climate control. And particularly if you're fighting in a place like Afghanistan, where it's boiling hot in the summer and freezing cold in the winter. So just efficiencies in that have the potential to reduce fuel requirements a lot, enabling a more self-sufficient, more combat-effective force.
Another technology the Marines are examining, backpacks that refresh rechargeable batteries.
As part of the Department's Small Business Innovation Research Program, Marines at Quantico are tested the suspended load backpack, which uses marine energy as they're humping that backpack into electricity, enabling them to in turn carry lighter loads.
The Navy Department's energy initiatives have come under fire in some quarters of Congress among members who think it's a sign of misplaced priorities. Of the Marines, Mabus says service members have embraced energy-saving technology because it makes them better warfighters, not because they're environmentalists, though Mills begs to differ with that.
I can't tell you, if I was selling fishing licenses to Marines, I'd be a rich man. They are, in fact, tree huggers. They may not show it, they may not wear the right clothes, but they are. They understand conservation. They understand what it does to the environment. In fact, our young Marines, and some 65% of our young Marines are below the age of 25, understand energy conservation better than we old dinosaurs do. When you give them an energy conservation piece of equipment, they readily jump on it. They understand immediately how to use it, and they apply it with great enthusiasm across the board. And so as we look forward into the future, we're gonna use energy that will be a full pillar of our modernization as we reset our force. As we come out of Afghanistan, as we take a look and resetting the force to future expeditionary requirements, energy will become a major factor in all that we do.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.